Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Election day may be behind us, but in some states, the elections are a long way from over. There are multiple House races that are still undecided. In Senate races, results remain unclear in Arizona and Florida, and Mississippi's race is headed for a runoff. And then there are the governors. There's still no official victor in Georgia or Florida. That's a lot of uncertainty. So to talk about what to make all of this and what to watch in the coming days, we've got Alana Shore with us. She's a congressional reporter for Politico. Alana, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the first of these Senate races. What's the latest in Florida?
Well, in Florida, the president is still tweeting with his own dissatisfaction about the quote-unquote slow pace. There's a lot of conspiracy theories flying around from the Republican side of the aisle. But the fact is that overseas and military ballots aren't even due yet in Florida. So there's a lot of agitation and panic on the Republican side of the aisle that fundamentally comes down to Bill Nelson's deficiency is slipping, and they're afraid that this race might get even closer. There's a machine recount underway. We're likely to potentially also see a hand recount. So we may not know the outcome here for a week.
And, of course, the president, just as you mentioned, tweeting, and he did say it regarding Florida, that we must go with election night. So we'll see whether or not that's going to happen. Now, we move to Arizona.
And it's important to say that, you know, despite what the president wants, that's just not the law. Right.
Well, now we're going to Arizona and Mississippi, the latter, which has gone to a runoff. What stands out to you about the state of those races?
Well, Mississippi didn't really surprise us. What would have been surprising, honestly, is if Cindy Hyde-Smith, that's the Republican, got enough over 50% to avoid this runoff. I wouldn't get too excited about Democrats dumping a lot of money in for Mike Espy in that state, not because they don't think he's a strong candidate, but, you know, he's no Doug Jones facing off against Rory Moore, who had multiple credible allegations of sexual conduct with minors, right? I mean, that was a red state where with enough money and attention, a miracle was worked. And I think that in Mississippi, that's unlikely to happen this time around. In Arizona, though, good news for Democrats. And that is that Kyrsten Sinema, who's the Democrat, keeps extending her lead over Martha McSally, the Republican, as all of the pre-election ballots get tallied. Now, you've also heard the president and some Republicans make some noise about, these same sorts of conspiracy theories. Oh, taking more time to count means something nefarious in Arizona. But the difference there is while Rick Scott is fomenting those theories in Florida, Martha McSally has conspicuously defended her own state's election infrastructure. So she's behaving quite differently than Rick Scott and having a lot of confidence in a count that ultimately is looking like it's going to defeat her. However, when you look at what she's doing, remember that John Kyle, who got appointed to John McCain's Senate seat, has said he doesn't want to finish out the term. So we actually could see Senator Martha McSally get that second Senate appointment.
I want to ask you really quickly before we take off, Alana, that there's still the race in Georgia, Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp. Where's the latest with that in the remaining few seconds we've got?
Well, you know, Stacey Abrams is making a push for that runoff, which has the same rules as Mississippi, right? If no candidate gets 50%, then they have a runoff in early December. That hasn't been determined yet. But there you see a lot of, you know, the nefarious allegations coming from Democrats because Brian Kemp, the Republican, is Secretary of State in charge of counting.
So there's a lot to watch out for. Alana Shore is congressional reporter for Politico. Thanks so much for joining us, Alana.
Thank you.
It's a truism that every vote counts, but it goes hand in hand with the idea that every vote is counted and counted correctly. And that's not always the case, as key races tighten across the country and potentially head to recounts. We're taking a look today at the rules that govern the process of how we count votes and how the system has changed over the last two decades. Rob Ritchie is the president and CEO of Fair Vote, a nonpartisan organization that advocates for election reform. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So I started this by saying it's a truism that all votes are counted. Rob, please tell me, are all votes counted?
Well, and we can
Uh-oh,
define
you're
that
hesitating.
In different ways.
Okay.
Yes, I mean, votes are generally counted in high percentages. It's those last chunks of votes that can get controversial.
So when you say votes are counted, does that mean by election day, there's a percentage of votes that have already been counted, and that's what we're basing our projections of who wins on?
Yes. I mean, if people follow election results closely, they'll notice that votes keep rolling in. And of course, most elections are decided pretty definitively by the night of the election. But that doesn't mean the votes are done counting. You know, a lot of states have absentee votes. They have a lot of provisional votes. They have a lot of votes that need to be reviewed and then counted, you know, signature checks on absentee ballots and a whole range of things. And so you'll get millions and millions of votes counted well after the election. They still have about 4 million votes to count in California.
Rob, why are we not waiting until every single vote, whether it's provisional, absentee, what have you, has been counted before we make a call on who wins?
My broader critique about that would be that we tend to get wrapped up in the horse race sometimes more than the democracy itself. And I think the principle of having every vote count is one that I think people believe in. And this was a fascinating election for voters showing that in various votes on ballot measures. But at the same time, people are very eager to know who's won or lost and talk about it. And so people like to jump to a conclusion.
And so we're seeing also that Republicans in Florida and Arizona have tried to sue to stop counting ballots. I have two questions for you there. Number one, is that legal? And number two, have we ever seen a case where Democrats did the same?
Oh, yes. It's very, very bipartisan in how people will sort of react to vote counts. I mean, Arizona is a fascinating one because now Republicans have an interest in more votes counting because their candidate, in fact, is behind in the Senate race. And you'll see some sort of shifts in rhetoric, probably, though I think it's pretty clear what's going to happen in that particular race. But sadly, the very bitter or partisan acrimony that we're in right now reflects in really fighting over these issues of, you know, whether to count votes or not. And I think ends justifying the means is something that both parties have a tendency to fall into.
Now, obviously, I mean, right, this is a political event, and obviously each side has its own interest in doing this. But again, I'm concerned that we are, I mean, a lot of the rhetoric that we heard over the weekend or since the election, since election night has been, quite frankly, why can't the United States get it together, Rob, to get these, you know, elections done and accurate and on time?
I would hope coming out of this election, as I actually have hoped coming out of a whole series of elections, that we would address that basic issue and sort of accept the fact that let's have a fair, level playing field. Let's accept the right to vote. Let's embrace it. Let's actually put it very clearly in the Constitution, which is, I think, the big idea that we think we would get value out of it, just saying a clear, explicit right to vote in the Constitution, which we do not have, and fund it and give our election officials the money with the training, with the standards to be able to ensure that at least this part of our democracy is one we can really have faith in. You know, this is something I think voters are ready to do more on. And I think we just need to kind of keep after the politicians to do the right thing.
We'll see what happens. We've got a quite important election coming up in 2020. Rob Ritchie is the president and CEO of Fair Vote. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.